It's Choose Your Fate at 4 on Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling into the 4 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. You heard it. Choose Your Fate at 4. We post 4 options. You guys get to choose what we talk about. Today's choices are Darius Slay to honor Kobe. Something listed under KFC Taco Bell Buffet.
Sounds good.
Amari Hardy to Arizona. And the Rams rebranded new logo. KFC Taco Bell Buffet wins.
Of course it does.
All right, where did you get the story from? Because I'm not even sure it's an official story out there, but I think you saw it from someone who was traveling across country.
Yeah, somebody just tweeted it and said, just so everybody knows, there is a KFC and Taco Bell Buffet located in the middle of Tennessee. Okay, I'm in. I have no idea why they still have this or why it's going on, why it's happening. I know that the companies are, you know, it combined under one corporate umbrella. But, man, this sounds amazing. I'm not having it. Sounds a little unhealthy.
Are there a lot of these around the country?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously the timing now is terrible with the coronavirus and all the shutdowns, but a KFC, Taco Bell, combo buffet, looking it up, it appears to be in a place called Oak Grove, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri, that's what it was, yeah. I mean, I'm willing to make that a tourist destination now.
Ari, would you eat anything at the KFC Taco Bell buffet? You're such a finicky eater.
At the buffet?
Yes.
That's a definite no.
I do
like KFC's mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay, well then get all the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Don't think I'm, maybe it's just now, I don't think I'm interested in a buffet, but that's just me.
God, you're the worst. I hate you so much.
I bet if we took a poll, a lot of people would agree with me right now.
You're not going to eat right now. So imagine there's going to be a day where this coronavirus is gone.
Yeah, and then it's still kind of 50-50 if I want to eat a buffet of Taco Bell and KFC, yes.
Do you ever go to buffets?
Rarely.
God, you're an idiot.
Well, I also don't get my money's worth it. I can't eat $25 worth of...
It's KFC Taco Bell. It's gonna what's the buffet cost?
I'm talking about normal buffets.
$12.
I mean, it seems like a great deal.
What would you eat the most of?
At there?
I think I'd go off on the chicken.
The fry? I don't know.
Really?
If they have maybe the popcorn chicken? That's tremendous.
It's the worst thing they have.
What are you talking about?
It's barely chicken. Yeah. It's mostly breading. Get some chicken.
I think the popcorn chicken is better than the... Than the fried chicken that they have there.
Shake a decision on your part.
I would definitely go with a lot of the sides. I love the green beans. They're good.
Okay.
I'm in for that. I mean, I think it would be mostly Taco Bell, though.
Yeah, what would you stack up, though, in a Taco Bell buffet where it would hold for more than a couple of minutes under the heat lamps?
Well, I think the idea is that it's so crowded that people are just grabbing everything as soon as you put it out there. I don't think you have to worry about it sitting out the buffet very long.
Again, what we're doing here is applying coronavirus times to this buffet.
No, I know, but I'm
like
saying...
If you remember, there was an era, like the rest of my life, where we didn't all act like animals
and
just grab stuff from people.
Well, that's not true. We've always done that.
I don't know. I've told you there used to be at least one Pizza Hut buffet on the east side over by Sam's Town. We used to make it we'd go early, too, when they first opened at 10:30 because we did a morning show, and God, it was great.
Okay, I was not making a coronavirus reference. I'm just saying, if you have a KFC Taco Bell buffet, especially in Missouri, it's going to be packed.
Okay.
It's going to be packed.
You might be
and
right.
So as soon as you put, like, hey, here's a tray of 40 gorditas, and they're gone. So you don't have to worry about, like, things sitting out for too long. I think that everybody's going to grab everything right away. You throw out some quesadillas or... You know, even just regular tacos?
Here's a question for you. The only thing I buy, especially at the two taco joints, is the cheapest stuff possible, like the $99, $1.29 stuff.
Okay.
Would I not have that stuff at a buffet? Or because I'm used to it, I'd still go for the beefy Fritos burrito.
I think you would try.
Which is basically just slop beans and some Fritos, and I'm like, yay, this is great for 99 cents or $1.29.
I mean, I don't know how we can get much fancier than that anyway. So I feel like you're still going for that? The cheesy bean and rice burrito, too, I think you're going for? I think whatever they put out there, you just grab it. It's all delicious. Now, it's also all the same ingredients. That's fine. I will say, I had this, I was lamenting this with somebody on Twitter. It was a week ago. It seems like it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a week ago. Somebody put out, I can't believe I went to Taco Bell for the first time in 6 months and they got rid of my favorite menu item. And I immediately responded. I was like, double-decker taco. I know what you're talking about. I don't know why they got rid of it.
Did they make a public comment or not? Taco Bell?
I don't think they did. I tweeted at them.
Nothing?
No, because that was like one of the things I thought.
Does anyone care about customer service in this crisis we have right now? Oh, this is before the coronavirus. This was about 3 weeks ago, right?
Well, it was.
Well, I guess we have to decide when before was in the United States before we took it seriously.
Yeah, they could have responded and said, hey, we're worried about staying open. Yeah. Shut the hell up about your double-decker taco. But yes, the double-decker taco.
This is actually a glorious time for businesses. If they don't go out of business, any sort of snarky complaints you get anymore, it's like, bro, COVID-19,
and
back off.
Here's the only reason I knew, because I had a conversation like 2 days before that with somebody, and I said, man, I can't wait till I'm, you know, to have fast food at some point again, and I would absolutely go right to Taco Bell and get a double-decker taco. That's what I'm looking forward to. I can't wait. And then the response was, you know they got rid of that, right? Like, why? Why would you get rid of that? It's a perfect food. It's as good as food gets.
We'll get to some more of the Choose Your Fate Four topics in just a little bit. We're going to check in SoCal, Arash Markazi, the columnist for the LA Times. Going to get his reaction on what's happening with SoFi Stadium and also all these images of people, especially in the LA area, at the beaches just hanging out. doesn't appear at all that they're worried about social distancing.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Didn't expect that I'd be on the Today Show for such a somber occasion. I want America to understand, this week, it's going to get bad. And we really need to come together as a nation. I heard the stories that you were just playing.
It's Cofield and Company.
Young people out on beaches. We see here in D.C., district set up a cam for people to watch the cherry blossoms. You look on the cam, you see more people walking around than you see cherry blossoms. This is how the spread is occurring.
Oh, yeah, good times on a Monday. Nearly the halfway point of the show. We will get to good times, Mr. Sunshine, all the happy stories, because this show is a very happy show. Adam Hill is here. Steve Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas. Arash, columnist with the LA Times, is up with us. Arash, how are you, buddy?
I'm okay. Quarantining in Los Angeles.
So let's pull back the curtain on both you and Adam Hill. I think the audience knows a lot about Adam Hill. He's not at home ever. He loves to be out and about. Arash, you're the same way. Adam is not dealing with this well at all. He's falling apart. How are you?
Well, it's tough, you know, because the last weekend was like my favorite weekend to be in Vegas. And as you know, first weekend of March Madness. So not being there and obviously seeing the pictures and the videos of my home away from home was really tough. And as you guys know, I don't like being home either. Like, I like to go out and about to different games. And it's just a weird reality that I hope won't last as long as some people think it will.
Yeah, about the images of the Strip? Just totally quiet, all the videos and pictures that people took late last week.
Yeah, it's just surreal. You know, I mean, especially in particular for this weekend, or like the last weekend, which was spring break, St. Patrick's Day, first weekend of March Madness. Is just one of my favorite weekends to go there. So, I mean, I had already had that trip planned. Obviously, I had to cancel it. So, it's just this new reality that I hope changes soon. But it's just, this was a very hectic week in terms of all the games that I was going to have to cover. You know. On my calendar, I tweeted out the first basically covering a game like every night to just being home.
Yeah, bummer. I'll lighten it up here in a minute, but I do want to let people, again, behind the curtain with your existence. I mean, you've got a lot of relatives still in Iran, and that's a nation that's been hard hit by the coronavirus, and you were saying you FaceTimed with them a couple of days ago?
Yeah, and it was so interesting because obviously we don't have a lot in common in terms of what I'm going through and what they're going through. For the first time ever, like in Iran, they have the same challenges in terms of like they have to wash their hands and social distance and self-quarantine and things like that. I mean, so for us both to be talking about the same thing as if we're living right next to each other was really incredible. You know, I wish that wasn't the case, but I mean, they've been affected by it so hard, and it's been so tragic what has happened over there.
So, Rosh, we heard the Surgeon General on the way back, and I think some of the stuff he was reacting to about people hanging out was not only Miami last week, the videos of the kiddies at spring break, but also some videos in Southern California with the beaches pretty crowded. Are you guys getting a bad rap? Has it slowed down? I mean, you're in those areas by the beaches, or are people just not getting it right now in Southern California in terms of social distancing?
Yeah, I mean, I think people for the most part have gotten it, but it's just a small segment, but there is a segment of the population, most of them young, who still want to play pickup basketball, who still want to go out to the beach. And, you know, while I have said, you know, I think it's safe to go for a walk 6 feet apart from people, I mean, you can get some fresh air. There is a difference between that and playing pickup basketball and going to the beach with all your friends. And, I mean, so, like, the pictures and the video of, like, these crowded beaches and clubs or pubs or whatever, that's just wrong. And so hopefully people realize that and that changes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when I saw pictures and videos of that this past weekend, I couldn't believe it. And that goes hand in hand with it being, like, a nice day. You know, it's 75 degrees and sunny, and people want to go to the beach. And that's great and all, but you can't do that right now.
Did I see a picture of you like out in the wild somewhere?
Well, so my parents live in Calabasas, so I'm with them right now. They're both in that 65 and over, bracket. So I'm sort of here if going to the market if they need something, helping them out here. So that is their view of the backyard in Calabasas. So I'm up in the hills here.
Tough life.
Really, I know, it's great. Yeah, right.
Say hi to the Kardashians for us, please.
Yeah, for sure.
I know. It's like Drake lives around here. Kardashian, fantastic.
What is your sense of, you know, nobody has any idea for, you know, for real. There's no dates, but like, when is sports going to happen again?
I do think the same day testing, where you can even do the test yourself, is a potential sports game changer in this respect. I mean, first of all, I don't think we're going to get to a point where we have fans at games for a while, maybe not until there's a vaccine or something like that. But in terms of having a game and you could the same day test players, coaches, official, all the pertinent people, I do think we can get to a point here where we're having these games where, again, just players, coaches, and officials and things like that, if they're being tested. Now, how many people, you know, will come back positive? I mean, the problem with the positive test is you're basically out of commission for like 2 weeks. So, you know, again, when I say it could come back sooner than we think, I think if we get to a place where same-day testing, self-done, where you could so swab your nose and give it to the lab, and then it's like, yeah, then it's more contained. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have the return in sports in two phases. Number one, this closed quarters, just the pertinent people phase, which is probably at some point this year. But then the next phase of fans, and I'm talking, you know, 20,000 at a basketball hockey game, certainly 60, 70, 100,000 for football. I don't know if we're going to get there this year. That is just my belief right now.
Well, Rosh, let's talk some of the football moves. Talk about some of the football moves. First of all, the reaction of Southern California in not getting Tom Brady, and should the Chargers have offered up a 2-year deal for Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, from what I was told, they actually did pursue him, but they got the feeling that he wanted to stay close to home or close to New York. So I know Vegas wanted him. I know Los Angeles Chargers wanted him. Here's the issue with the Chargers. No one here cares about the Chargers, so there wasn't this, like, they weren't upset that he didn't come. I felt that he was their best chance to have some type of success here. I mean, they haven't moved the needle, and it still goes beyond just winning, because the year that they went 12-4, nobody cared about them. So I thought they needed to do that to move the needle here. It wasn't like there was a big there was a big contingent of fans who were hoping that he would come. But yeah, from what I gather from talking to the people that I know at the Chargers, was they wanted to sign him and they did actually pursue him. But the feeling is he wanted to be close to New York.
Are Rams fans more angry that they had to dump Todd Gurley or with this official unveiling of the new logo?
The logo, the real disaster. That like LA logo on that leaked draft hat, which is really looks like that's their primary logo. They have to find a way to like pivot. I mean, they have time to do this, and we've seen this before. You know, the Chargers had that unveiling of the logo, and within a couple of days, that was scrapped. That logo just. It looks like a combination of like a Chargers logo and a Rams logo. It looks like the official logo of like a pro surfing team. It just does not work.
Well, will they get bailed out and get lucky if – isn't there a college logo that looks exactly the same?
Yeah, so Angelo State in West Texas, I mean, it looks like a carbon copy. So if Angelo State files a lawsuit or something – and by the way, I just tweeted out the logo, so I don't know – where, like, Angelo State sits on this. But, you know, if they find out about this and this team that has basically kind of lifted their logo is building this $5 billion stadium and they want a piece of that, you know, hey, if you want to pay for our logo, you could pay for it or we can try to prevent you. The issue with this logo is that it's so bad that I'm really hoping that the Rams go with one of the other logos because they did release four different logos, and I actually don't mind the other three. They're not fantastic, but the three are okay. The one with just the LA and it looks like a wave, it's horrible.
Now, you mentioned building the $5 billion stadium. Are they?
Yeah, so they got an exception where – I guess construction will continue with social distancing, and from what I was told today, it is still on track to be opened in July. Again, when we talk about public gatherings, I don't think we're going to have a Taylor Swift concert on July 24th, which was the first event they had planned there. But the stadium is on track to be completed in July. But again, I'm just so interested to see group of, again, 60,000 people. I mean, the capacity for SoFi Stadium is 75,000 people. I don't know if we're going to get to a place by July or maybe even September where we can just gather that many people in one place.
Rosh, you said you're at your parents. Are they all good with paper towels and toilet paper?
Yeah, you know, we were actually pretty stocked on that to begin with. I don't know why they had the amount of toilet paper that they did, but they've never... Yeah, they've never had that issue before. So, thankfully, that has not been a problem.
Excellent. Good to see. Because I saw that you retweeted a video. Well, I saw that you retweeted a video the other day.
Yeah,
just loading up a truck of, you know, thousands of rolls.
That's on the store.
I think Arash cut out a little bit. Arash, you still with us? Oop, there you are.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we have. Yeah,
no, but you got to limit that. I mean, you know, you could buy two rolls of toilet paper. By the way, that should last you like over like a month. So, anyway.
Of course. Let's close up. First of all, give a pop for the LA Times because you guys have an amazing subscription deal where it's basically nothing to sign up.
$1 for 2 months. And I know a lot of newspapers are doing this, you know, because listen, I think people are forgetting like all the advertisers that we normally would have are not going to be there moving forward because, A, their businesses are struggling, and, B, people can't go to their stores or their places where what they could. So in terms of car dealerships and stuff like that, so that we're taking a financial hit there. So, but we would love to get new subscribers. So LA Times, go on the website, LATimes.com, 2 months, $1. So that would be appreciated.
Should we close mentioning, is it one of your friends, Angela, actually did test positive for coronavirus?
Yeah, so Angela, son, she was in Australia for a wedding, and she tested positive. She works for Spectrum News out here in Los Angeles, so she's in a hospital in Australia. She is doing well. But, you know, I think more and more when we see the percentages, and I hope we're going to get to a place where we can treat everyone, but, you know, I mean, it just seems like – more than 50% of people at some point are going to get this virus, but it's for the vast majority, thankfully, it won't be bad. It'll be like the flu. Some people might not even have a system, but we just have to make sure we self-quarantine, take care of ourselves, because, I mean, there's a lot of doctors and nurses out there. There's a lot of hospital beds that they need right now. I mean, people are forgetting, this is not just coronavirus. I mean, people are getting sick with what they had before, whether it's a heart attack or stroke or whatever. So if you can self-quarantine, if I can do it, guys, as you know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Arash, we appreciate the time today. Keep your family safe, okay?
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Arash Marchese, a columnist, LA Times, hanging out with his parents in Calabasas, normally down at the beach, so I'm sure he wasn't amongst the throngs. Is that unfair when they show the videos? Or is that that's what's going on?
It's accurate.
Yeah,
it's
what's
happening.
The videos were, I saw one on Huntington Beach, and I've also heard people smashing young people. There were some old folks out there walking, you know, right next to a bunch of people.
Yeah, I have a friend in LA, she was texting me yesterday that she was going for a walk to the beach, and I was like, no, don't. And she was like, well, nobody else is out, you can just walk. And I was like, good luck to you.
Yeah.
And then she texts me back. She's like, there is nowhere to park. It is a mass of people. There's no way to stay away from people.
Halfway point is here. On the way back, we'll get to Good Times with Mr. Sunshine, some of the best stories of the day. Happy stories, including lots of pictures of the Lotus Broadcasting crew staff and their pets on National Puppy Day.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All ready, Adam? Good times with Mr. Sunshine?
Oh, for the good stories.
Yes. Okay. Good stories. Not good story.
Okay.
Good stories. We
I've only got about one in me.
No. You have a bunch that I've been... we've been saving up a lot of stories because we had a ton last week. It was one of the most crowded weeks of Cofield and Company ever from a topic standpoint. Good times with Mr. Sunshine. We'll try to do it every day. We'll try to do it every day.
I'm already uncomfortable.
Well, no. First of all, easy topic today. It's National Puppy Day.
That's nice.
Yes.
Good news for my little brats.
Yes. And our bosses decided to ask us to send photos of all the pets of the Lotus Broadcasting crew on the sports side. LV Sports Network.
We did.
Yes. And rolled in cats, too.
Which I have a problem with. Oh, it's a good story. Sorry.
No.
Good news.
State your case.
It's puppy day. And I go into this page to look at everybody's puppies, and I'm like, well, what are these cats doing on here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a kitten day and a cat day.
Let's see. Featured. I'll give you all the names. You tell me which are not good. Although this is a good times portion of the program. Ellie May.
Ellie May's been around for a while.
Okay.
I'm okay with Ellie May.
Cindy the third? Or Cindy three?
I mean, I assume that this person... Are we not saying who the people are?
Yeah, Ellie May is Granny. Yeah. Cindy three is the Unibobby.
I mean, it's not surprising to me that Bobby would just rename his new dog after the old dog.
Interesting. I never thought of doing that.
Me neither.
Isn't it kind of morbid?
Yes.
Okay. RTHG has a dog named Willow.
And listen, I'm gonna accuse Ryan of cheating here.
How so?
Well, I mean, if we're doing a page full of dog photos, he throws the baby on there.
We were told to not include ourselves. I have
right.
many lovely pictures with my animals.
Because it's for people to check out and say, oh, that dog might be the cutest dog of the Lotus family. You can't throw a baby in the photo and cheat.
All right, so 3 minutes in, Ari, and...
Oh, wait, good stories.
Cheating
good,
accusations.
Good story.
I told you what this was going to be like every day, right?
That's true.
Good stories that would quickly test the patience of both John Von Tobel, Adam Hill, potentially Ryan McKinnell when he's on the show. Squash and Ruby. Two dogs, Tyler Bischoff.
I'm going to have to admit that Ruby's quite a catch. Ruby's a good dog.
Okay.
Ruby looks very cute. I'm kind of jealous.
Misty. Is Magnum's dog.
Yeah, Misty looks okay, too. Misty's out in the water, having a good time, splashing around.
Pauly, on National Puppy Day. Pauly is Big Mac's dog.
Yeah, it looks like. You didn't even have to say it was McKinnell's dog. It just looks like Big Mac's dog.
Clay Baker is the first one to violate National Puppy Day.
Yeah.
With Bella, Bella the cat.
That is a cat.
It's pretty intense looking cat.
It really is. Although, the eyes are, like, intimidating.
Although most cats you can get in an intense picture.
That's true.
They can look often look very mean.
I'll say that the intense photos are back-to-back because we've got Clay's intense cat and then Kyle's intense dog right after that.
How do we say that dog's name? Zuki?
I think so. Zuki?
Zuki? There's three different pronunciations.
Yeah.
I'm unsure. More cats. Seamus, Azzy, Lucy, Lil B, and fake Seamus.
That's a lot of cats.
That's a lot of cats.
Definitely Cofield.
Too many?
And it's cats.
Yes.
It's national.
I know.
Puppy
I
day.
Was told to send them. I didn't know it was going to be a rules violation.
It is. It's puppy day. How hard is that to follow? That's as simple a guideline as we could possibly have. It's puppy day.
Baron and Lucy.
Those are adorable dogs.
I wonder where your objectivity went.
Those
and your
are some
misery.
Those are some adorable dogs right there.
Bo, that's a good name. That's one of our newer staffers, Sam. And then one more cat, Juju. It's a good-looking cat.
I like Juju. It's a good name. Not a great cat, but, I mean, all cats to me are awful just because I can't breathe around them.
Ari, like buffets, do you hate animals?
No, I like it. I actually, just like yourself, I like cats. I'm one of the few people.
Ugh. Would you like an outdoor cat?
No, we've discussed this. I don't want any of your dozen cats.
You can take fake Seamus or Lil B.
No, not fake Seamus.
I think Lil B was running across the wall at the Cofield compound a little while ago.
Why is there a cat named fake
Adam, Seamus? Yeah, I was going to ask Adam, what's worse? Is it renaming your dog Cindy 2, Cindy 3, or fake Seamus?
The outdoor cat looks like the indoor cat. What do you want me to tell you?
Fake Seamus.
And they often brawl, and sometimes they've actually brawled into the pool, which was awesome.
That is great.
I walked out one night, and they were spinning on the ground, just a ball of fur, and they pulled a fell in the pool.
Seamus and fake Seamus?
Yes.
Maybe they're fighting for the name.
They are.
Yeah, it's good.
The territory battle
if
here.
If fake Seamus wins the war, does fake Seamus get to move inside?
I'm not sure that fake Seamus is an indoor cat.
Oh.
He doesn't seem to be.
What's the difference? Like, some cats are like, nah, I'm outside, bro.
I think once they're outside for a long time, they can't really be domesticated. Although two of our three cats actually were outdoor cats.
And you...
Real Seamus was an outdoor cat. Lucy was a homeless cat from WeHo.
Well, I think you can make them quick. Like, when I first got Baron, I was like, this Baron is never going to be under control. Baron is a wild animal. He's little, but he packs a punch.
Yeah.
Now he's the most spoiled thing in the world.
I'll add one more thing to it. We have an old cat. She's 12 years old. She doesn't have a lot of patience. She doesn't leave one room. If we start bringing in outdoor cats, I don't think that's going to go well.
Yeah.
You have to have consideration for the one with the longest rein inside gets to kind of decide the rules.
Yeah, that's fair.
Can't just bring in any wild animal.
Yeah. That's what, like, Baron is much more intense than Lucy, but Lucy's been there longer, so Lucy kind of sets the rules. So I can kind of understand that. But, yeah, I think that there's certain – I don't know – cat. I don't understand the cat mentality. Dogs I kind of get now.
What's the mentality?
Them, I don't know. They're just – they don't feel like – I don't feel like they're – I feel like they're always looking for, like, where to go next.
They are.
Like, dogs, I feel like, oh, this is my home. This is cool. Cats are like, all right, where do I go? I got to get out of here.
But they usually come back.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
We have two that go out, one that goes out all the time. He always comes back. They always know where to come back. Because the food inside is better than outside. Even though there's a lot of wild animals, they can't catch pigeons that easily.
Do they try?
I don't know. You know what's funny? We had a pigeon. I don't know what happens to pigeons. Maybe someone tweet at us. Sometimes I've had a couple that just seem to be like shell-shocked, and they'll just sit in the backyard. And I'm like, you're going to die. There's cats everywhere, but they can't move. Like, they're locked up for like a day, and then they go. You ever heard of that?
No, but do you ever have ducks back here?
No.
Because I saw there was a VGK player yesterday had on his Instagram story there was ducks in the pool.
Well, some must live near what? Some sort of lake around town or Desert Shores has a lot of ducks?
Yeah, but the dog was like, oh, I'm getting it. And the dog like swam across the pool to like go get it, and it got halfway across, and it turned around like, nah, I'm not doing this.
Did it feel bad?
I think he was scared.
Oh, really?
And he jumped out of the pool, and he watched him from the side, and he's like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, these two pigeons who were just shell-shocked, they were dead meat, but they survived.
Dead meat?
They were.
Literally?
They were. Other happy stories. I'm happy for Amari Hardy.
Okay.
Well, because the Rebel Guard, who was going into his senior year, he had a really nice career with UNLV. He's going to move on. And the list of schools that have apparently reached out to him, it's a great list. He's going to have a chance. I think he was going to have a chance if he stayed with UNLV to be a high achiever on a good team. But the list that reached out to him, I mean, these are all programs that have hopes, many of them, of being Elite Eight, Sweet 16 teams. And he's not going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer, but he can go somewhere and pretty much guarantee he's going to get into the tournament. Schools that reached out for Amari Hardy include Michigan State, Oregon, Arizona, Arizona State, Memphis, we'll see. Arkansas,
Must?
Yeah, going on the must bus maybe. Kentucky, Maryland, Seton Hall, Cincinnati, Marquette.
So these are all schools that offered him?
They've reached out to him, yes.
And they want him on the team?
Yes.
Okay.
Why are you saying it that way?
Well.
Do you believe that Hardy left on his own or he was pushed off the Rebel roster?
Well, I believe he was seeking better opportunities, but I believe other teams are also seeking better opportunities than him.
Right. They're going to cover their bases. And his dad did come out and say, handwriting was on the wall. He played two this year. He was probably going to play two next year for UNLV, and he'd like to go somewhere and play point guard again, be the point guard.
Right. And other schools are like, hey, you can get him and maybe his brother.
Oh, that's what you were getting at.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously, he would have to sit out.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting if he is a grad transfer. He'd have to sit out to play with his brother. Are you suggesting that getting Amari would be aligned to getting his brother, Jaden?
Even if it's not playing together.
Right.
If he leaves and goes somewhere, the school might say, hey, we'll give him a really good season and show him what this school's about and this program's about, and then maybe his brother comes here too.
Yeah. I was disturbed by a few tweets last week of Amari Hardy where it was like, good riddance. He's not our kind of player. You're going to do this back-to-back years? Because people mostly crapped on the guys who left a year ago. They almost all went to Power 5 schools. They all upgraded in terms of level. So they had to be decent players. I don't understand, especially a guy who turns in 3 years like Amari Hardy, who easily could have left. He could have gone to one of these schools this last year and sat out and then been ready to go in his last year with his brother. He easily, because, I mean, if they're using the strategy now of, hey, we'll get Amari, it'll curry favor with his brother, who's a top 15, top 20 player in the 2021 class, he could have done that and bailed on the program, and you may have had – now, would it matter in the long run? No, but you may have had a 13-win team this year.
If you're a UNLV fan that's like, get out of here, good riddance, we don't need you anyway, you don't fit in, I don't really think that you're either paying attention or know anything that you're talking about.
And people did it last year with Shakur Houston going to Oregon, JTT, winds up landing at Baylor, Chamo Chachua, as I botched the name, Tom Way winds up at Texas Tech. Even Ben Coupette, who moved on, was a really effective scorer for a regular season conference champion. So I don't like to see the attitude, especially a guy who's put in 3 years. And keep in mind, he came here in the first place with Marvin Menzies when he was a top 150 recruit coming out of high school and still had, programs like Oklahoma State and Illinois asking for him. And he came to play for a team that was terrible the first year under Marvin Menzies.
Yeah, I mean, he came
Check
in
that.
Here.
I have that. I think I'm 1 year off on that one.
But he came in here under, not great circumstances and was a very effective player for several years for a program in transition and kind of helped them, get to another level. So not where they want to be yet, but he really was the guy for a couple years here.
This one was real interesting, really quick. This was an AP headline. Kentucky linked to prolific three-point shooter as transfer talk heats up. That was actually Amari Hardy they were referencing.
Okay.
He's a good three-point shooter. He shot 33%. He hit 63. He hit 63, which was one more total threes than Kentucky's leader had, 62. So a little bit weird.
It's not really what his – I mean, the numbers will tell you that. But
any program out there would be thrilled to have him. Good character kid. A lot of experience under his belt. Can be a force scoring when you need him. I think did learn some lessons under Otzelberger and can be more of a distributor at his next stop.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.